So, Father, we just thank you for just another night to come together and just to share and to be in one accord with you. And we just thank you for just putting in us as far as what needs to be brought forth tonight and any prayers that need to be brought forth or any praise or any revelation. And we just thank you for just this awesome fellowship of people that come together, each week. And we just ask that you bless tonight, Lord, and you just guide and direct us. And we just come against any distractions as far as with the equipment or software or connections. And we just thank you that it's going to be a blessed night tonight. And let us edify you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're just kind of talking before we came on. I re-listened to what Michael Montana brought forth on Tuesday night. It was just, Bart was commenting, it was just right on. And, it was just the word of the Lord. And it just totally, totally blessed us that we got to, stay in faith, walk in faith, and, don't be led by what we see. And I see a lot of distractions out there, and I see the enemy trying to bring distractions and, get us out of the word. And, I've shared before where there's times I just want to just, pray in the spirit, and I'll pray for 5 minutes or so. And next thing I know, my thoughts are somewhere else and I got to pull back. And there's times I get, swayed on what I see in the natural, and I see it, the local fellowship, and I just see a lot of we become, instead of being runners in the race, we become spectators, or we become commentators, and we get focused in on others and other situations, and we get distracted, or we fall into the enemy trips us up, we fall into sin, and we get into condemnation, and then our focus is on ourselves and, what we did, and looking back and looking at the old nature, and we just, our focus is, totally on us. And so it just plays to the enemy. But what Michael shared last week just was a blessing. Just gotta stay in the spirit, gotta be led in, led in the spirit, and not go by what you see. So it was good, Michael. Thank you for that. So let's go ahead and open up like we do. If anybody has any prayer needs, need prayer, or have somebody they want to pray for, or maybe just come in agreement with, we'll open it up for that right now. Does anybody like to pray or need prayer?
Sure, Jim, I do.
Okay, Chris.
I've missed you guys. I'm sorry I haven't been here, but I would just like to say thank y'all for sharing your testimonies, and thank y'all for, and Michael, I got to listen to what Michael had to say Tuesday. This afternoon, and it's a testimony and a prayer all in one, because as I was working today, I was working for myself today, and I had multiple machinery malfunctions and failures. And through all that, I was listening to teachings, I was listening to conference calls that I had missed, and I was listening to what Michael Montana had to share on Tuesday. I was listening to a testimony from Jackie. I was listening to what Michael brought forth. And, it just made my day a praise. It just made my day wonderful. Ended up getting 8 hours worth of work done in about 4.5, because I was so blessed by the word of the Lord and what the body was sharing. And I would just like to pray if y'all would join with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you so for this body. I thank you for this group of people that have come together to learn, to share, and to and just to be with you, Lord. We know that, that you're all the glory. We know that you deserve all the glory. Father, we thank you for the trials and the tribulations that you put us through. And we thank you, Father, that you're showing us that as we stick together and we learn together and we, as we learn things together on how to serve you, that, Father, that you get all the glory, Father, and we thank you so for it. And, Father, I thank you for this group of people here on the conference call. I thank you that they come together and that we can all share together, and I thank you for the testimonies and the praise reports and the prayers that go forth, Father, for they bring you glory and they keep us built up and girded up for this fight that we fight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, it's kind of neat where, you know, just a handful of people that just want to be faithful and try to walk in obedience and, you know, just sharing what, you know, coming together and praying and sharing what God is doing and sharing revelation, you know, that the Lord is showing us or what's on our heart and how it can be such a blessing. You know, just building our faith and seeing answered prayer, seeing what God is doing in others' life and knowing that, you know, he's no respecter of man, that he can do those same things in our life. And we're just a small group of people that are just trying to run after him and put the soul flesh to death and learn to walk by faith. And as we step out, and I mean, just a little testimonies of what God is doing. And, you know, even Missy last week stepping out and praying for some city worker's chainsaw. And, you know, it just will build somebody else's faith to pray for their car or pray for their chainsaw, you know, say, hey, if God can do that, he can fix my, you know, my lawnmower or whatever it is, you know. So it's kind of neat what the Lord is doing. And it just takes us just stepping out in faith and overcoming fear of man or, you know, what others think and being willing to pray and be led of the Lord and not looking for glory in ourselves, but just allowing the Lord to get the glory and giving it to him. And it's just kind of awesome, you know. So you're right, Chris. This is a kind of special, neat little group that you know, the Lord has brought together. And amen. So, all right. Who else would like to need prayer? Or would like to pray? Or anybody have any prayer needs?
Yes, Tim.
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah, I'd like to just share our daughters are home this last week, and we had prayed for them before about, you know, being able to share some things with them, and we were able to do that with two of them. Two of them, their husbands weren't here, they weren't able to come. The other one, her husband was here, but we just never were able to get the two of them together at one time to be able to talk to them. That there's just always something. They're so into the worldly things that there's just so much going on. But she did indicate she's going to a Bible study, and they must be studying about kind of dying to self. And so she did mention about talking about doing some of that, because she's always been a really strong-willed person, and nobody was able to ever, you know, nobody would pull nothing on her. But she told us about some things that are going on with her at work that are really causing her some problems, and how she's learning to be quiet, keep her mouth shut, and just trust the Lord to work it out. And so we're believing for all of them that God's going to continue to do that work in them. And I'd just like everyone to agree with me that God will just speak to the hearts of our three daughters. Put your word in them, Lord. Give them the grace to receive truth. Help them to die to the worldly things, to give up them things that seem so important that are in the world, and to seek you and seek your truth and your word, and to spend time in your word daily, and ask, Lord, that you put that desire in them. We know that we can't do that. Only you can do that. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in each one of them. And we just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for working in Marlon and Gaynell's daughters, Lord, just to bring them to you, closer to you and closer to your fullness, Lord. And we just thank you for just putting on her heart and mind to join this Bible study. And we just thank you for the word that's being brought forth. And we just see that as answered prayer. And we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's kind of neat. You've been praying for them, and the Lord's starting to work on them. You know, starting to see, you know, a little bit of fruit there.
Yeah, it's good to see some little things happening anyway, because it's been a long time and really hasn't much of anything. But we really do see some small things happening lately.
Awesome. Yeah, I know Greg's been praying for him up here. We've been praying for him, and they're getting covered in prayer. So we're believing God's going to do it. Amen.
We're seeing it as being done.
Awesome. Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm just seeing a lot of answered prayer. I just love it. You know, and when you see the Lord working, you know, when we get out of the way and turn over in prayer and let Him do it, and sometimes we, you know, we get in His way, and He, you know, we start getting into works or anxiety and fear or whatever, and you know, and He just steps back, and then we got to figure it out and step back into faith. And then once we get back into faith, He'll, you know, all of a sudden we see Him starting to work. So it's kind of neat. So, all right, who else would like prayer or like to pray for somebody?
I would like prayer for my wife and I that we could be more proficient at renewing our minds. I think we are in need of more grace in that field, listening to the Lord and letting the Lord work things out and us just renew our mind in the Word. I appreciated Pastor David Fields' sermon and Michael Harris' sermon just last night. They were both very much needed by us. But I would like to pray that we would be more in line with God and renewing our mind.
All right. So let's put our faith together for Wade and Jeanette. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that Wade and Jeanette's heart is to be more in line with you, Lord, and they're asking for a renewed mind. So, Father, we just ask you just grant them just a renewed mind of Christ. And, Lord, I just ask you just to open up the Word to them, Lord. Just give them just more hunger for the Word. Just open up their spiritual eyes. Just bring forth revelation in the Word and point out truth in the Word, Lord. And Lord, they want to walk in the Spirit. They want to be led by the Spirit. They want to be led by you. They don't want to be led by their flesh and what they see around them. And we just thank you for just giving them just discernment, to discern the enemy, to discern the lies, to discern where doubt comes in. And they just want to be more proficient in your Word and walking in truth. And Lord, we just thank you for just granting that out, and we just put our faith together with them. And you're just gonna bless them, and there's gonna be a mighty move. And we just ask them just to refresh them in the Spirit, refresh their minds, refresh their, you know, just excitement for you. And excitement for truth, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
Amen. Bless him, Lord. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, I think I'd like to pray also, or just ask for some prayer for everybody, including myself, about not falling into judgment for others. Not that we're trying to condemn them, but it seems like little things can get under your skin and you don't even, you know, before you know it, it's something that's bothering you and you don't want it to, but it does. You know, just sometimes little things, you think you're doing fine. Like I thought my walk was great till today, and I had a certain situation happen where I have a new boss to a degree, and this person's not real familiar with everything we do to a degree. Well, and they're assigning work, and they're not really, sometimes they're not letting you know you got something you have to do until they come on to you and say, why didn't you get that done? Well, I didn't know about that. That kind of stuff's happening, you know, and not just me to others, and we're kind of dealing with that where, you know, high expectations, but there's not information that we're supposed to be doing things. So, and they're not admitting to, you know, falling on their side. It's like, well, take care of it. You know, go do this, go do that. Or, and today was a situation where we have a certain kind of work gets done on a certain days or the weekend, and now it's being all of a sudden reshifted during the week, and we didn't know that. And it's like, wait a minute, you're not telling us what's going on here. And I just kind of, well, you should know better. It's like, oh my gosh. So you kind of get a little frustrated with how things are being done. And, you know, even for me, it's hard because, you know, I've been there so long, it's like, you know, you have a hard time readjusting to this kind of a management style. So, and I don't want to get in a flash and be judgmental, but it seems like it got under my skin today a little bit. And I shared it with somebody. I should have just shared it, but they had the same problem. It's not like I was imagining this. And I thought, well, there I am. I'm judging. I'm talking about somebody. It's not like, and I already addressed the situation with the person, but others are having the same problem. So we're kind of all limping along with this. And that's just my situation, but it's the whole point of what David Ellis talks about, why you shouldn't be judging and talking about somebody. And it's like, I went and did that, you know. It just made me feel so bad. So I guess, you know, I'd like to pray about that. I'm not sure how to pray for it. I'm hoping it's not something I have, you know. It's not part of me, but maybe it is. You know, it's just, I don't know. And I think you went through something like that, Tim, too, being kind of stressed in Ohio a little bit, I guess. But I don't know. Just thought I'd bring that forward.
All right. Well, let's just pray. And so, Father, right now, you know, Dave sees where he's can get, you know, into judgment. He can get, you know, critical or just judgmental towards, you know, the people at work. And Lord, his heart is not to fall into that, and he sees it. And he doesn't want to be there, Lord. And so, Lord, we just come against any critical spirits that may be on him that. We just rebuke them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. If there's a root for this criticalness or this judgment, we just ask you just expose it to him. And Lord, if there's any pride there, if there's any unforgiveness there, if there's anything there as a root, you know, that's bringing frustration or anger or anything in his life, Lord, we just ask those roots be exposed. And because Dave wants to be free of this, and we just thank you for just, you know, just working in him and, you know, just showing. We know that you put these people in front of him, and but he just, when he falls into it, he doesn't want to be there. And Lord, we just thank you that you're going to expose the root of this, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, you just fill him full of love, that he can just have supernatural love, agape love for the people around him at work. And, you know, he can take his thoughts captive. We just ask you just allow him to discern his thoughts. If there's any beliefs there, any lies there, that they be exposed so that he doesn't get pulled in. And we just thank you for just the work you're going to do in him, and he can just walk in your love and just be a light and not get the flesh riled up with the people around him. We just thank you for this crucifixion. We thank you for just this trial. And we thank you for that we're believing together. We're putting our faith together that it is done, that he's going to be free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, that's, you know, I know with me, it's, I was delivered of a critical spirit, and that spirit always wants to come back. And it was kind of steeped in pride, and it was all tied in with rejection and this stuff. With me, it was putting others down to lift me up, you know, make me feel better about myself. And I was at a place where it was such a familiar spirit, I didn't really realize that I was that critical. And the Lord started pointing it out, and then when I saw it, I didn't want to be there. And it was a battle, but it was there was some lies in there that had to be exposed. And but he set me free, you know. But there's times where, and it, with me, it's really starting to take my thoughts captive, because I can start getting a little critical. I can start looking at things, and as soon as I catch it, man, I gotta start praying blessings. You know, just bless that person or, you know, the situation, because I just, I don't want to get pulled back down that, you know, get pulled down that path. But the enemy's always trying to, you know. But the Lord allows it. You know, he allows situations. It's, you know, you're going to love them. You're going to pray for them that persecute you, or, you know. And so it's just all part of the walk, you know. Amen. Matthew, were you going to say something?
No.
Okay. All right. I thought I heard you trying to come in there. Okay. Anybody else like to pray or need prayer? All right. How about any testimonies? You know what? I'm just thinking. I just want to pray for my dog. He's been thrown up from time to time. I came in and there was a soft something behind a chair here, and before I got on the air, and Trisha mentioned he's been just thrown up from time to time. So I just we're going to pray for him. So Father, we just I don't know, Max has had a upset stomach, or you know, something going on with his stomach, and from time to time he's been throwing up. Or Lord, if it's something he's eating, if there's, you know, if there's a, you know, if he's you know, if there's something, you know, in his digestive tract, if, you know what's going on there, Lord. So right now we just command that Max is healed, that his digestive system is healed, and we just thank you for that, Lord, that he is free, that he's under my authority, and we put our faith together for him, that he is totally healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, how about testimonies? Anybody got a testimony they'd like to share? Kind of anything you want to, anything the Lord's done, want to brag on?
Well, you know, Tim, we set out this morning to cut up some trees over at Hiwassee College, and we thought we were going to get rained out, but we persevered, and we actually got done more than we thought we were going to, because I know that probably Tim was praying, and Greg was too, and I know David and I were too, that we go ahead and finished up what we wanted to do, and we actually did. So, you know, I praise God for that. We had some big winds here last week. And it blew down some great big trees over there at the college. And we need firewood, so we volunteered to go over there and help them out. And we got the trees out, and actually got two trailer loads, 16-foot trailer loads full of wood. One was a walnut, and the other one was a maple tree. huge maple tree. Gosh, that thing had to have been 6 or 7 feet in diameter, because when it was laying on the ground, it was taller than I was, and I'm 6 feet. So it was a huge tree. We weren't able to cut the trunk, of course, but we cut all the limbs off of it, which was as big as trees themselves, and really got a good load of wood out of that tree, and then we got a good load of wood out of the walnut tree, and doing that, we helped out the college too. So praise God.
Yeah, that was good, because it was we had somebody helping us that actually works at the college. It's part of the ministry, and he's not used to doing physical work, and he called up afterwards and says, "Man, that was hard work," and so the whole. He called up and he was like, "Man, I'm not used to that." But it's great, man. We make a great team. We went out there but I got, by the end of the day, I was just so hot and I was so exhausted. I mean, we were cutting all morning and it was kind of neat. At the very end, we had two pieces that we cut through, but we couldn't, the way the tree was, we couldn't get all the way through. And, you know, we were cutting up to branches that were probably 2 foot in diameter, you know, it's about as big as we could go. You know, we had some big pieces and they were kind of stuck, and we're trying to get, you know, use the tractor to lift them up. And I was exhausted. And, you know, David was kind of like, "Hey, let's get these cut." And, you know, I was like ready to go. So he lifted it up and I cut one, and then my chainsaw ran out of gas and I was like so hot, and next thing you know, it just starts sprinkling, and then it's, you know, kind of, you know, felt really good, and, you know, then it started rain a little bit heavier, and it was like, "Man, this really feels good." And then it just started downpouring, and I was like, "Okay, Lord, we're done," you know. So he cooled us off, and, you know, I just came home, took a hot shower, and it was kind of funny, because the guy we were working with, I took him home, and he was so, I mean, we were all soaked to, you know, through. I mean, it was just pouring. We were just out there in the pouring rain. It was kind of fun. I dropped him off at home. He said, "You know what? I'm just going to take my clothes off and sit out on my back deck in the rain," you know? And that's what he did. He just wanted to go sit out in the rain because it was so refreshing after, you know, working so hard. So it was kind of neat. So it was definitely a blessed day, you know. I think we blessed the college. So it was kind of neat. But all right, anybody else have a praise report or anything they'd like to praise the Lord on?
Tim, this is Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Hi. How you guys doing?
We're doing awesome.
Well, I got a testimony today. I want to praise the Lord for Missy has to move over to Pam's apartment because I have some conflicts with my landlord if you're here too long. Anyhow, so she moved over to Pam's. But as we were taking the stuff down to the car, I was thinking, "Oh, there's a lot of steps over Missy's." And I'm over Pam's, and Missy is healed, but she's having a trial with her knee, but she's healed. But I was just thinking, "Oh, there's a lot of steps there," and she has quite a bit of stuff. And right then, after I said that, practically, here come drives Belinda by with Eve and her son, and praise the Lord that they came to help us. And that was so awesome. I mean, it was perfect, perfect timing. So I just wanted to praise the Lord for sending them to help. So thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your servants. Praise you for that, Lord, just in time.
Yep.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Anything you want to brag on the Lord about? Or how about anything the Lord's been showing you? Any revelation? Anything in the Word? Or any dreams? Don't get quiet on me now.
Well, you know, I can share this, Tim. We're getting words of the people, some of the people who have left will be coming back. out of captivity, captivity to the enemy. And we're still getting those words strong, and we're also getting words of the anointing that's coming, the man-child that's coming, and the bride going into the wilderness. And it's just awesome what God's showing us. And we're getting these primarily every day. The Lord has stepped it up. So he's telling us what's fixing to transpire here shortly. And so that's kind of what the Lord's been showing us, is that we're fixing to get into this thing. Mountains shaking, you know, mountains being brought low and valleys being brought up, you know, and that's the prideful being brought down, and the meek and the humble being brought up forward, the ministry that God is forming. So it's been exciting to listen and learning what God's telling us, because all of the scriptures, it seems like in the morning prayer meeting, and we generally have 12 to 15 people here every morning, and they all tie together, it seems as though. They all tie together, all of them do, and it's just awesome to watch and listen to what God's telling us. Amen. Tim, I think you didn't unmute.
You're right. Was that a word of knowledge?
Yeah, it was. I mean, when I didn't hear a voice, I kind of figured it out.
Oh, man. No, that's awesome. My Lord, you know, just brings forth, you know, kind of bring you to a word, and, you know, how, you know, when you got that many people that they all start lining up and they're going in the same direction, or if there's a warning, there's a bunch of warnings, you know, that come along and stuff like that. And there's times that David will bring something in the, you know, on a Friday night or that, and he'll start, you know, quoting from, you know, a scripture, and, you know, we were in it that week, and it was like, wow, I mean, the Lord is, you know, and I see that happen, you know, from time to time. It's kind of neat, so, but, all right, anybody else? Yeah, I was, I had a situation this week where I was asked to look at something at a local church, you know, look at an air conditioner. And I went into this church, and there was two elders and the pastor there. And it was just, it had been so long since I was in a, I mean, this is like a mainline denominational type church, and this pastor is fairly new to the church, I was able, you know, I was just kind of talking to him and that, and I was, but the interesting thing was, is that, you know, once the pastor and I just kind of met, and then the other elder showed me what was going on, and as soon as the pastor left, one of these elders just started, you know, just, he was just telling stories, but he was just cussing and swearing and using the Lord's name in vain. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And I was like, okay. Then I'm, you know, they're taking me through the building, and the one guy, you know, he was an older man, and he kind of tripped in an area, and actually rolled across the floor, and I ran over to him and, you know, to help him up, and, you know, he just started to just tell me how he's got a bum leg, and, you know, just, I mean, he was just speaking the curse, just, you know, all the issues he has, and, I mean, it was just like, you know, I just seeing him just speaking the curse, and, you know, and I was just, you know, and then just, you know, the more time I spent there, you know, I was just like, you know, this is just like a club or something, by the way they're talking, and, you know, it was just, I don't know, it was just really opening my eyes to you know, the you know, and I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of deceived people out there, and these gentlemen were telling me that two elders were telling me that they're training the new pastor. You know, they got to train them to their ways and how they do things and all this stuff. And I'm going, really? And he said, oh yeah. You know, and I mean, they were proud of it. And it was like, I was just being weak to the weak, and, you know, it was just, but my eyes were really open. I was just seeing the deception and, you know, the flesh. And I mean, it was kind of crazy. And so I was thinking, it was like, why is there so many people deceived? You know, even these pastors, or even the pastor that, you know, I was sitting under for a time, and, you know, seeing, you know, as far as, they, you know, they spent a lot of money going to, to a Bible college to be taught by a bunch of other men that were deceived, you know, that didn't know that they were deceived. And, you know, they do this to get a certificate, by, you know, from man, you know, that are deceived, to show, you know, that they are, you know, that they're qualified to, you know, I guess be a pastor or perform weddings or funerals, or maybe it's just to get a tax exemption, you know, as far as that. And, you know, but there's so much deception as far as in, you know, in the church. And even the pastor I was under, I mean, you know, he didn't know he was deceived. And his father was a pastor who was deceived. And, you know, and it was just, and the Lord led me to Job. In Job 12 and 13, it says, with God is wisdom and might. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Again, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. And it goes on to say that the deceived and the deceivers are his. And I was seeing where, you know, it's really the grace of God that, you know, we even have salvation, and that it's the grace that we have, the understanding that we have. And if, you know, if God shuts you up, you know, if he shuts you off to the understanding of truth, you know, he's the only one that can open it back up. And if he withholds the understanding, or, you know, dries you up, I mean, it's, you know, it's him that, you know, pours out the understanding. And, you know, and with that understanding, you can overturn the world, but, you know, but God has all the strength and wisdom, and, you know, we don't have any wisdom unless, you know, God gives it to us. And, you know, the typical man has the wisdom of the world, you know, and, they have very little wisdom of God. And even, you know, these men in the, you know, this denomination, there was no Christ there. There was no wisdom there. There was no, I mean, it was just, you know, to me, it was kind of a strange situation. And, but what I see is, if, you know, typically they're seeking after man, you know, they're following a pastor, or they're following a denomination, or whatever it is. And, you know, if you're seeking after man, you're seeking worldly wisdom. And, you know, and even, you know, as Michael was sharing last week, they really don't know what faith is. And they think faith is just believing. But it says the deceived and the deceivers are his. And, you know, so they're both his vessels. It goes on and says, you know, he leadeth counselors away stripped, and judges maketh he fools. He loosens the bonds of kings, and he bindeth the loins with a girdle. He leadeth priests away stripped, and overthrows the mighty. He removes the speech of the trusty, and takes away the understanding of the elders. And so it's God that leads the counselors and the priests away naked and captive, you know, without garments. And, you know, he can remove your speech and take away your understanding, you know, of the elders. But you first need to have understanding to have it taken away. So I was really seeing where, you know, at one time did these people have understanding? And they, you know, decided not to walk in it, because both the, you know, the deceived and the deceivers are gods. You know, if they're both vessels, you know, they could be vessels of honor or vessels of dishonor. But God knows our heart, and he knows our intentions. And if he shows us truth and we don't walk in it, you know, that's our decision. And if we compromise the truth and go against our conscience, you know, we're responsible. And if we're, you know, puffed up and in pride and want to do what we want to do or believe what we want to believe or, you know, walk the way we want to walk and not walk in obedience to what he shows us, you know, we can be overthrown, we can be bound, and, you know, we could lose the truth that we have. You know, basically led away naked without a garment because of our, you know, pride or because of our lusts or because of our flesh or, you know, whatever, you know, we want to not abide in and follow after. So, I don't know. I just, in Obadiah, it says 1 and 3, it says, the pride of thy heart has deceived thee, O thou that dwells in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, and says in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou mount on high as the eagle, and thou a nest by set among the stars, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. And, you know, I see that, you know, if you're prideful and in your heart, you know, and you've been deceived and you're up on a lofty, you know, you've elevated yourself as the eagles and you're up as the stars in star glory, that, you know, you're just walking in that deception. And, and it's, you know, I don't know. It's just, I guess it's something that, you know, when God opens our eyes to truth, we have a decision to make. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult dying to our flesh or, you know, loving our enemies or doing what the Lord is showing us to do. And, you know, we've got a choice. We're going to walk in that obedience or if we're going to believe another doctrine that makes our flesh feel better or just join a club. You know, just get around as a, you know, a club of, you know, people that just get together on Sunday and you know, as a social gathering. But you know, if we don't walk in what the Lord shows us, I mean, if we want to walk in complacency and deception, I mean, he can blind us to any additional truth, you know, I was reading it as far as what, you know, Apostle Paul, it, you know, it says, for we also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love towards man appeared, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And it says that we might be made heirs. You know, it's not a guarantee. You know, it's dependent on our obedience to walk in the faith and the truth that God shows us. I mean, Paul was a Pharisee and a religious leader in the church, you know, before his spiritual rebirth and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But once his eyes were open to the truth, I mean, he basically had a choice if he was going to walk by faith or walk in the truth that the Lord was showing him. And just like Paul, man, we all have that same choice. And are we going to, you know, go justify and fall into deception? Are we gonna walk in what the Lord has shown us? So, I mean, he could have gone back into believing what, you know, he was taught by man and in the Bible colleges and what he studied to become a Pharisee. But what he was saying here is, you know, he saw it as foolish and, you know, being in disobedience and deception. And when he was deceived, when he was a Pharisee, he didn't know he was deceived. I mean, he thought he was walking in the will of God, but, you know, when he was looking back, I mean, he was saying, you know, he was serving various lusts and pleasures and serving the lusts of the flesh and not serving God, you know. So he saw that he was living in that depravity and wickedness and jealousy, and, you know, he was walking in unforgiveness and walking in, you know, unrighteous before God, but he thought he was a righteous man before God, you know. And that's what I see, is a lot of deception out there. You know, a lot of people that call themselves Christians are, you know, just think they're righteous, but they're more self-righteous and into works than anything else. You know, Paul was out killing Christians, and you know, he understood the law of Moses. You know, it says, thou shalt not kill, you know, but when you're under deception and serving diverse lusts, you know, you twist the word of God to justify your actions. And you know, it's like that today, you know. Also, you know, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. So, you know, and I just see there's a lot of Pharisees out there. And you look up that word Pharisee, and it means to separate. You know, when you look it up in Strong's, it says, owing to a different manner of life from the general public. You know, the Pharisees are, you know, prideful, you know, believing they're better than anyone else. You know, they believe they are God's chosen and would look down on anyone else that was not a Jew, not a believer, you know, didn't go to their synagogue. And they thought, you know, they believe they're righteous before God. They knew the law better than anyone else. And, you know, like the people, you know, we know the word better than anybody else. Or, you know, they felt they were blameless. And it's, you know, you see the same types today. Because it's touching zeal, persecuting the church, as touching the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. You know, he was so deceived that he truly believed he was blameless, you know, fulfilling God's law and walking in righteousness while he's persecuting the church and killing Christians. And the righteousness that was the law, you know, of the Pharisees, how they interpreted it, you know, in their religion, how they twisted the word and to serve their diverse lusts. And, you know, it says they were, you know, lovers of money and, you know, you read everything about the Pharisees, but there's a lot of Pharisees out there today. And you know, just walking in jealousy and wickedness and that, you know. There's a, how be it that what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but refuse. And, you know, once Paul was able to see in the Spirit, his, you know, and walk in the Spirit, as, you know, Michael was talking about last week, and became conscious of what it took to follow after Christ. You know, he had to count everything he was taught by man and the traditions of the church and everything he was brought up in, you know, as refuse, you know, as dung, as some translations say, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. That's, you know, walking in faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So it's really not having a righteousness of our own, of ourself, being in self-righteousness. You know, it's walking in faith in Christ. And, you know, the Pharisees were good at, you know, putting people under the law and putting them into works to be justified. And that's, you know, that's where the church is today. I mean, they're just, there's a lot of works going on. You know, even when I was in this church, they had a whole counter full of boxes of cereal. And, you know, it was, you know, that they're, you know, collecting cereal and, you know, to hand out as far as that, you know. And it was like, you know, but they were all proud of it and excited about it. And, you know, it might be of the Lord, you know, or is it just works, you know, just to justify what they're doing, to count themselves righteous in the eyes of man. I don't know. But, Paul goes on and says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, becoming conformed unto his death. And that's really what it's all about, is, you know, coming into, conforming unto his death. Because we got to come into death before we can be resurrected and come into the resurrection power. And that's, you know, putting that self to death. And that all starts with, you know, fellowshipping with him in the suffering to truly know him, putting to, you know, basically our self-righteousness to death to gain his righteousness. We got to put us to death or to gain him, you know. So Matthew 16 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So it starts with denying self before we can follow him. A lot believe in him, and a lot accept him, but they're not following him. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. So if you want to know Christ and be found in him, you must first lose your self-life to gain Christ, which we know is the soul life, you know, that's our mind, you know, our will, our emotions, our flesh, and that's where the obedience comes in. There's no obedience in, you know, just believing or just accepting, but there is obedience in following. It says that he that abideth in him ought to himself also to walk even as he walked. And after Jesus was, you know, baptized by John and started his ministry, I mean, his walk was to the cross. And it started in the wilderness and ended up on the cross. And that's where a lot of us are. You know, we're kind of in our wilderness and we're kind of in that walk. And Luke says, whosoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We know that's, you know, being a disciple is different than just accepting or believing. It's following. It's not just picking up your cross and wearing it on your neck. It's picking up your cross and following in his footsteps, getting on the cross and stretching out your arms and legs and getting those nails driven in, you know. He that does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And so that's got to put that self to death. For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved is the power of God. And I'm just saying where this... Somebody doesn't have their phone muted. I'm just saying where this, just picking up our cross and walking in faith and just not getting distracted and just putting self, you know, to death and walking in obedience and just staying in the Word and you know, what the Lord shows us, not justifying, but, you know, putting repenting, changing our mind, and, you know, just going in his direction and not in our direction. Sometimes it's difficult, but it's once you get set free, you get through that trial. I mean, it's liberating, and things that used to bother you no longer bother you. Situations that used to stir you up no longer stir you up. People that used to, you know, get you frustrated no longer get you frustrated. Because all that frustration and that is, I mean, it's just self trying to stay alive. We get focused in on him, his purpose in our life, and get our will out of the way. We can be used to him. That's what walking in faith is. It's just walking in everything we know, and he'll meet us where we're at. That's, you know, sort of what, you know, Michael was sharing last week. It's just, you know, we need to walk in faith and not go by what we see. All right, who else has got any thoughts?
Yeah, Tim.
Hey, Bart.
Yeah, when I first got introduced to God and Jesus and the Bible, I discovered over time that the Bible is a very dynamic word, a very dynamic relationship. But this was not conveyed at the first. At the first, it was very introductory, you know, about God and about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And because it wasn't taught initially how deep the subject is, how deep the walk is, how dynamic, how there's, you know, new things that you will come to learn over time, because that wasn't conveyed at first. I wound up, you know, doing it like everybody else. They, you know, are introduced to it, and they are invited to join a church. And it's almost as if once that's met, you somehow have crossed a threshold, and you almost like in a sense, solved a problem, and that the problem has been solved. The situation is complete. It's fixed. It's as opposed to being something dynamic and deep and grows. It's viewed instead as somewhat static, almost as singular and static as the NFL Monday morning sports page win-loss column, and your either seen as Sunday having attended church or not having attended church, that being the barometer of success. And I've discovered that because the churches don't have it right, when you go to attend a church and you're not being taught properly, there's room for misconception. That being, you attend church, it's all good. The way things seemed to work way back during the time of Job, where the paradigm and understanding, the way that they thought things worked, was that if you were sick, ill, or misfortune happened to you, that you committed some sin. They knew this so well that when Job wound up in it, his friends virtually accused him, not necessarily an accusation, but were wanting to point there had to have been something, Job, that you did, because it wouldn't have happened any other way. The time of Israel, when Jesus Christ walked the earth, I remember some of the odd things that stuck out. For example, when Jesus mentioned when an individual who was rich was told by Jesus, if thou wilt be perfect, sell what you have and follow me. And this person walked away dejected. And Jesus had to mention something a couple times before, you know, Peter reacted by saying, whoa, if the rich can almost, it is impossible for them to be saved, what chance have we got, those that are not as rich? And I wonder if back at that time, the paradigm, the way that they thought that things worked, was that if you were well-to-do, that you somehow had an inside track to God's grace. And today, where it's viewed that all you have to do is attend church, and it's good. When the subject of God is brought up, a lot of times the very first reaction that I get from the people that I talk to is whether or not they attend church, or their next move was going to attend church with the idea that I'm going to solve this problem. I'll attend church and it'll all be good. And my guess is that is the pervasive thinking, and it goes no deeper than that. The misconception continues.
Amen. Yeah, that's usually the first question they ask you is where do you go to church? You know, because they want to put you in a box, you know, and see kind of pigeonhole you as far as where you're coming from. I remember a month or so ago, I walked into a restaurant and I could tell. I mean, there was a hostess there that was seating us, and you know, she was. I don't know, she said something, I forget what she said, but I could tell, I mean, she was pretty lit up and happy, and you know, she said something, bless you, or something like that, and I had to run out to the car and get something, and I came back in, and I knew she was a Christian, and just by the way she was, and so I just walked up to, she was just standing there, and I walked up to her, and I said something like, what's the Lord doing in your life these days, or something like that, and I got some, I'm just a sinner saved by grace type thing, you know, and just biding my time, you know, type response. And so she turned to me and said, well, where do you go to church? And it was kind of neat. I said, well, actually, I said, the Lord called me out of the church. He said, come out of her. And since I did that, I said, he's just opened up my eyes to the truth. I said, I've been seeing miracles. I've been seeing prayers answered. I said, he's teaching me how to walk by faith. And I just kind of gave this testimony, and I just saw her light up. She didn't know what to say to that, you know. And she was like, oh, praise God, you know. But then she was like, well, I want to come over and hear more. And so she ended up coming over to our table, but I kind of threw her off, you know, when I said that, and she wanted to hear more. So, but I knew that, you know, when you get that old line, what church do you go to? They just want to know if you're a Baptist or a Methodist or, you know, what box you belong to. So, that's true. Any other thoughts? Actually, I looked up. What's that, Don?
That gave me just a thought. I don't remember where I was reading something in the scriptures today about. It gave me. It really seemed to be saying that there's a lot of people out there that really are seeking. If somebody would even tell them, like what you ran into today. And I don't remember that passage, but that's what really struck me. That passage. It challenged me to realize, wow, there's a lot of people out there that really want to hear more, and they'd be loosened.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of people that are hungry for the Lord, but they believe they need to be in church because that's what man tells you. Well, no. You know, you need to be in church. And there's a lot of people that get saved in churches but the church just kind of lulls them into complacency. You know, they just lull them into their doctrine and there's not a lot of meat there. Or basically just milk, and it just becomes they get them under the law, or they get them into, you know, what's your spiritual gifts so we can find you a job at the church, and you know they try to get you, you know, get them tied in or whatever, but it's. And then most of them are, you know, you're just seeing more and more of these big churches and additions, and, you know, they're adding the coffee bars and, you know, just stuff to please the flesh and keep people coming and keep people in there and, you know, draw people from other churches. And, you know, it's just a big marketing ploy. And, you know, as far as that, but... As David said, I mean, for some people, I mean, starting out as a new believer, you know, they're, you know, might be okay, but, you know, the Lord's got to put in them to, you know, hunger for the truth. And there's a lot of people out there that are searching for the truth and have come out of the church, And but then there's all kinds of other deceivers out there, and they're falling into other deception, and they should just be home reading the Word and just seeking after the Lord. Amen.
Amen. You know, I came out of the church years ago. I've had enough. And I look back and see how many times I went back into the church. You know, and complaining all the time and staying there. How foolish that was for me, the times I've done that.
Where you went in and just complained the whole time you were in there?
Yeah, always complained the whole time I was there.
And then came out and found another one and then complained the whole time you were there?
That might be a few years, you know. My wife and I were out for a few years, and then we moved to Arizona back in 04. And she was working with a gal there and talked us into going to her church. Well, we went there for 2 years, and that was all foolishness. And somehow we knew it, but we kept going anyway. I guess maybe you're brainwashed, or that's not quite the word. Something about, well, I was born and raised in a Baptist church. And, you know, we were going there for 25 years until you see the light. And, well, this is a charismatic church. You know, we'd come into the baptism years before. And we went there for a couple of years, and then David was talking about 501c3. So I looked into that, and I haven't been back into a church since then.
Kind of buddying up with the beast, you know?
So. Yeah, I could just see seeing how the beast is trying to control the church through that. or the people of God, so that way.
Amen.
You know what's
what's that, Michael?
You know what's exciting to me though is the things that God is revealing nowadays to His people that are hungry for the Word, and I'm telling you, it's fixing to empower multitudes of Christians to stand up and take advantage of the fact that the Lord has provided for them to walk in the very steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to shake the world, not by our might, but by God's might. He's restoring everything that has been taken from us out of these churches y'all are talking about and that we've all been in. And there's going to be people like you've run across, Tim and Don and everybody in here that are hungry for the Word, then you'll be able to reveal just a little bit more than what they know. And they're going to tag along behind us, and then you're going to be able to give them the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to set multitudes free. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm getting excited about what God's fixing to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Tim?
Yes, sir.
Can I share a little something?
Go for it.
Okay. I was just, as you're sharing, I've been kind of having a dealing going on in my own heart. But I think of that scripture that says in the 8th chapter of John, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and then you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it's one of those scriptures that people take half of it, and even over the San Francisco University, they have written on top of the university at the entrance, the truth shall make you free. So terribly out of context. But with the disciples of Jesus, you're a disciple when you continue in His Word. And I was talking with Michael Herr the other day, and I recognized that it's a very narrow segment of humanity that truly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it's a very narrow part of that of people that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then it's a narrow part of that that have come out of the systems of men. And then it's a narrow part of that who have continued on to seek deliverance from the strongholds in their own life and are desiring to completely be set apart so that they could say with Paul, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and yet not I, it's Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I recognize that right now, there's the thing that Michael was just sharing is awesome, because I really believe with all my heart that God is desiring, you know, it says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. The real issue that's going to separate the men from the boys is a heart issue. But when the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I don't listen to words. The Lord's, he's searching, as it says in the scripture, the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God is looking deeper than all the externals, and a high percentage of religion and what men are doing in the name of the Lord is men doing things for Jesus, much of it to be seen of man, much of it for every kind of ulterior motive. And but the real issue is when you pursue with your heart, when your heart is involved in your pursuit of the Lord, when your desire, it says in the 18th chapter of Proverbs, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. The Lord said, how can you believe that seek the honor of man, that not the honor that comes from God only? He says in there, you honor me indeed with your mouth, but your hearts are far from me. What God is looking for is, in fact, C.T. Studd said something, and I'll just say this. He was a great missionary, and he said, what God is looking for in mankind is a heart. Any old turnip will do for a brain. And what he was saying, you know, because it says, God has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. For the Jews require a sign. The Greeks, they seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to them which are called, Christ is both the wisdom and the power of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. But the point is he's made foolish the wisdom of this world, and there's so much of religion is involved in everything. But when you come like a little child with a heart that desires to know him, to honor him, to please him, to bear eternal fruit, to walk in every single apprehended that for which Christ apprehended you, when the cry of your heart is to love God and to honor him and to please him. God's looking at the desires of a man's heart, and I bring to your remembrance the scripture in Malachi when it says, and then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was made before him of those that fear the Lord and those that fall on his name. And they will be mine, saith the Lord, in the day that I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a father spares an only son that serveth him. It's such a rare commodity on the earth for men to think and speak on his name that God makes a book of remembrance. It's precious to the Lord when he's got people that desire to honor him. Look at any one of you that's a father right now. Some of us have children that are AWOL, that are out of the way. If we saw one desire toward righteousness, would we go, hey, Knothead, can't you do better than that? I think we'd go, oh, wow, precious. This is a precious thing. My daughter's reaching out. My daughter's or my son is desiring something of the Lord. We would go the extra mile. You draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You know, when we get to a place where the desire of our heart is toward him, if we're reading the book, I think of that scripture in there, I think it's the 17th chapter of Luke, when it says, which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will he not rather Rabbi say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird thyself and serve me. Does he thank the servant because he did those things which were commanded him? He said, I say no. So likewise, say this, we're unprofitable servants. We've done our duty. God doesn't want us to do our duty. He wants us to be like Mary. Martha was serving. She's busy doing things. And she said, tell Mary, my sister, she's left me to do all this serving alone. Will you tell her to come and help me? And she says, Martha, Martha, you're careful about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that better part, and it shall not be taken from her. When there's that heart that just wants to be with God, just wants to love him, just wants to please him, just wants him and yearns for him. When you approach the word like that, when it's your desire, it's not a duty. You're hungry, you're yearning. The Lord will go the extra mile. You draw nigh, he'll draw nigh to you. He'll give you grace. That's what grace is for. Grace is divine enablement, but it's not going to come with a false heart and a false motive and with guile in the heart. But and if you find that, and we all will find mixture in our hearts, but if we find that, that mixture in our heart, cry out to God, Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes and to keep my judgments to do them. If you'll approach the Lord from the heart, if there'll be desire, then the Lord will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. The eyes of your understanding will be enlightened to know the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and the greatness of his power, exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. That's God's desire. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Remember, God desires to manifest his holy name and his glory far more than we have ever desired it, than we've ever yearned for it. And he's looking to and fro. The eyes of the Lord went to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Approach the Lord without guile, with sincerity of heart, with desire. And where your heart is wrong, cry out to God for that new heart, and he'll give it to you. He's no respect of persons. And when we're praying according to the will of God, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we have the petition that we've desired of him. So when we're praying according to the will of God, we can expect to receive. God wants to manifest his glory. God wants to reveal his holy name in this earth. God wants to vindicate his holy name against false religion and against the false gods of this world. God is yearning, looking for vessels he can use. Are you that vessel? God is no respecter of persons. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So, brethren, there's no respect of persons. God is crying out. He's looking through and fro throughout the earth for a vessel he can use, a vessel he can reveal himself to. And, brethren, when we approach him with a burning, passionate heart and desire, just to know him, to love him, to please him, to obey him, to bear eternal fruit, to be a vessel. When the zeal of our Father's house consumes us, then we're going to see the glory of God revealed.
Amen. Amen. That was good. I think we all need to check our hearts, you know. That was good, Michael. If there's any blockage in there, need a transplant, you know. But when you talked about rebellious children and, you know, seeing them, you know, wanting a little bit of truth and how we feel, you know, I just, that's so true. You know, I've just, I got a son that kind of fell into rebellion. And the thing is the father's heart, my heart, I mean, I love him, absolutely love him. But I had to back off, let him go, let him figure it out. And, you know, and your heart wants to do things for them and, you know, stuff like that. But they need to get their heart right. You know, and I see where, you know, he knows me, but is there honor there? Is there love there? You know, it's more of a conditional love. You know, if our heart isn't right, you know, there's conditions behind that love. You know, is he trying to be pleasing? And you know, that's but when we get that desire to run after him and you know, it's all about the heart, you know, it's just getting that desire in our heart to truly know him and truly honor and truly, you know, want to be pleasing to him and we appreciate what he's done for us and, you know, just love him for, you know, just taking us out of the miry world. And, you know, I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, there's a lot of people out there with head knowledge and quote scriptures, but there's no fruit there. Because they're not truly, they don't have that heart. They don't have that desire. Yeah. So, but that's true what you're saying as far as the, there's a lot of people that claim to be Christians and not a lot that are baptized in the Holy Spirit or sanctified from their flesh in the world or delivered from the pride and you know, demons that are got them bound up, or they're walking in unforgiveness. And you know, when you take all those factors in there, you really see where the remnant is so small. It's just a minute number compared to this world. So, amen. That was an awesome word there, Michael. Anybody else have a thought on that? Get your heart right. You gonna say something, Michael?
Well, I was just sitting here meditating on what Michael was saying, and it all boils down to love of Christ. That love that Christ has placed in us, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, isn't it? And everything comes out of that. That's the graces, the virtues in which love is manifested. And that's joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, no sharpness or hardness in your tone, no unkindness or selfishness. In other words, getting rid of self and the world out of your life. Meekness before God and man. So that's where God wants his people is to walk like Jesus. And his was a total love for the people. He sacrificed himself for the people. And that's, Philip gave a good testimony the other night in fellowship about how we should sacrifice ourselves for one another. That's love for the brethren. And when you have somebody that comes up to you and wants to know more, you know, like Tim did, you know, and it gave him, this lady, a little bit of love and showed her a little bit of the truth of the gospel, and she wanted more. She wanted more. And our job after that, of course, is to pray for these people and to pray that they would run after the Lord. Pray that that love of God would be placed in their heart and that God would reveal his word to them and his love to them and his grace and his mercy to them. And I'm telling you right now, the one thing above everything that grieves God's spirit is a lack of love for the brethren. We must have that love in our heart for each other. And we should be, there should be no respecter of persons in our life. We should be walking dead men and women, as Jesus was talking about. You know, he would reprove Peter. He would reprove anybody that came against the word of God. It didn't make him any difference. You know, he was no respecter of person, and he would love on every one of them. He loved on Peter after he rebuked him, you know. That's the way we're supposed to be. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I guess the Lord's done it. But it's the love of that of God in our heart that people sees. It's not what we know. It's not who we know. It's where does this love come from in our heart, even for those people who have come against us? Even for these people who frustrate our lives daily, we should be praying and blessing them. That's what God told us. That's what Jesus told us to do. So this love for the brethren is key to walking that fruitful life that Jesus wants us to walk. And I just, you know, it's that, and God's going to really bring it out more and more as we get closer and closer to this great wilderness that he's fixing to throw us into. I'll tell you something now. When you have love for the brethren, you're going to intercede for them. That's the great life of an intercessor, is that love for the brethren so much that they take their time, they sacrifice their time to pray for them. They sacrifice their time and their efforts to pray for the people that they know are hurting, are having problems. And not only that, that they're struggling in their walk. That's the love that God's looking for. And love, God's love will fit us for that work of intercession. And that's going to God and taking time to lay hold on God for the people that you know are struggling and are hurting. That's the fruit of the Spirit of love. That's what God's looking for in each one of us, is that love. And I pray that each one of us would take time each day to pray for those that you know are struggling, and for those lost ones that you've run across, and for the people, you know, for everyone that comes to your mind. When God brings someone to your mind while you're yet you haven't thought of in maybe years, he's getting your attention to go ahead and pray for them, because you don't know what they might be in. I just thought I'd kind of throw that out there, Tim.
No, that's good. It's you know, I know that I've been asking the Lord to change my heart, and he's been doing it. You know, he's really, you know, starting to put compassion in me for people, and because really most mankind is lost. I mean, I see that just about everybody's lost. A lot of them think they're saved, but they're lost. I mean, they're just, they're living in the curse, and they think it's normal. And, their families are falling apart, and, you know, the drugs and alcohol and pornography and just all kinds of addictions, and, you know, addictions to food and lust. And, I mean, it's just, you look around and you just look at people. And when the Lord starts opening up your spiritual eyes, man, you just see the, you know, the hurt in people, and you just see the, you know, they're just, you know, and most of the people, you know, you go out there, and I mean, you know,
a lot of them are just, I mean, they're all on pharmacia and drugged up and dealing with stuff and fighting emotional pains and physical pains and you know, just dealing with all kinds of situations. And you know, we think that what we've got is bad, and we have no idea what a lot of these people are going through, and the Lord just needs us to just love on them, you know, not judge them. And maybe just even just pray for them without even approaching them or whatever. You see somebody and, you know, your flesh first thing wants to do is judge somebody, you know, for however they look. And that's going by your sight. And we got to see them in the spirit and just start praying for them. Just have compassion, you know, for people, because even if they call themselves Christians, most of them are lost, you know, because they're under a apostate belief. And they're not walking in any obedience. You know, they think they're saved, once saved, always saved, and they can do what they want and have no idea. They're lost. A lot of them you can't even talk to because of the spiritual pride. So all you can do is just pray for them. You know, when you see them, you know, if the Lord opens the door, let the Lord do it. And you know, don't get into works or think you got to save them, because unless the Lord changes their heart, I mean, a lot of them need to be tribulated because they haven't gone through any, you know, tribulation. They've been, anyways, I don't know where I was going with that, but pray that the Lord just puts compassion in you, and pray that the Lord just, you can see them in the spirit, just see them as vessels, because most of them are bound up in demons and religious spirits and, you know, addictive spirits and all that. So we just got to have compassion for them. And it's hard to love somebody who's real arrogant or real prideful or, you know, sometimes you just, but that's what the Lord, you know, we can't judge. We just got to love them where they're at. So. All right, anybody got anything on their heart? Walking in love, walking in compassion, walking in the spirit.
Just one other thing I'd like to add is that, you know, if you don't have that love in your heart, all you have to do, Jesus says, ask me what you will, and I'll give it in my name, and I will give it to you in John 14. So that's all you got to do. Just ask, Lord, give me more love. Give me love for my enemies. I seem to struggle with that. Help me, Lord. Help me. Give me that love. Take this old cold hearted of mine and mold it into that flesh that you want, Lord. That's a moldable thing. And Father, we just thank you, you know, and he'll give it to you. Just, you got to believe that he's going to do it. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one that does that, and the Holy Spirit's with us at all times. Ain't nothing in your heart that the Holy Spirit doesn't already know. He's all-knowing. I mean, he knows everything. He knows how many hairs on top of your head. He knows the sparrows that fall on the ground. So he knows everything that's in your heart. So why not go ahead and get rid of that darkness out of your heart and let the love of God come flowing in like rivers of water. Let that love flow. And when it does, you'll find yourself an intercessor. You'll find yourself interceding for these people that have bugged you before. They won't bug you anymore because you're not looking at them in the flesh. As Tim often said, you're looking at them in the spirit. You're seeing their spirit man. There's a spirit man of love in there. And you keep praying it out.
Right, come forward. Come forth, love. You can do that. God says, he gave us the power over all. He gave us the authority over all the power of the enemy. And you do that by praying. You don't do that by coming against them. You do that by praying for those people that offend you. Amen. That's what absolute surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. Walking in the same steps that Jesus walked. And he walked with pure, unadulterated love in his heart for everybody. You know, he even had compassion. Believe it or not, he even had compassion for those Pharisees and Sadducees and stuff. Now, he didn't like them coming against and prostituting his people. That was the spirit in those people. But he loved the men. You know, he prayed for the people all the time. You know, that was a great thing about Jesus. If you read in the Gospels, he prayed all the time. They were always going up and he was always going out and praying. Always going out and praying. And getting filled with the Holy, getting his direction from the Father through the Holy Spirit. And we should too. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I was talking to somebody I used to know in Ohio, and they were sharing with me that pray for their daughter, and their daughter all through high school just had a love for Christ and a evangelistic heart, and the mom would get calls from the teacher saying that, you know, you need to talk to your daughter and have her back down about, you know, the preaching she's doing at school and stuff like that. And so she shared with me, this daughter, you know, went off to college out in California and is now in a new age and talking about what the Dalai Lama is saying and all this stuff, and, you know, pray for her. And just amazing how easily you can get, you know, especially for a young person like that, you know, go off and, you know, get indoctrinated by the world and lose your heart and your compassion for Christ, you know, just be out there amongst them. And part of it is, you know, the parents allowing her to go out to California to, you know, whatever the school was and stuff like that. But, I mean, they're not going to see that, you know, so. So that just came on my heart. So I just wanted to pray for her and pray for that family. So Father, right now, I lift up this Kimmy to you, and Lord, she was running after you, had, you know, claiming the gospel and just being an evangelist for you in the school, and now she's fallen into the world. She's fallen into new age and trying to mix Christ with the Dalai Lama or whatever, you know, whatever she's doing, Lord. And Father, we're asked to pray for her. I lift up Kimmy to you, and I just ask you just put a conviction on her heart, Lord. Father God, just give her a dream. Just expose the deception she's in, Lord, and just shake her, Lord. Whatever it takes to bring her back to you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you just get her out of California and bring her back to the truth, Lord. Just have mercy on her. We just thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody have anything else before we close out tonight?
Hi.
Hey,
who's that? Mila. Mila, I have a prayer request. Hi.
Well, go ahead, Mila. What do you need prayer for?
First of all, I would like to thank Michael O for his speech on faith. And we really needed to hear it at the moment that it came. And it was really helpful to us for keeping our faith strong. And this is just such a trial for us with the house. And I wanted to ask if you guys could pray for us so we could move into the house without any additional obstacles. Well, this is a house in Julian I was talking about earlier, and we have just a few days left before we have to get out of the condo that's being sold. And, you know, we were just about to move into the house. Well, all the paperwork was done, all the references and credit was checked, but then it got stopped again. Because the government program refused the house because the rent was like $200 higher than they would allow. So, the property manager to negotiate with the owner of the house to work out some kind of a deal so we could finally get into the house. And like right now, we have less than a week left, and we have absolutely no other prospects. And, like, we don't want to be on the street. And maybe you guys could pray to move the heart of the owners to see that it would be a blessing for them and for us. And maybe they would work something out, some kind of a deal that would work out for us and for the owner. And that would be a blessing for them and for us. And, we would like you all to believe in us that it's possible to move into the house and that it's done, and that we would start like a new life with our walk in the Lord there. Oh, this was just such a trial for us.
Well, all right, let's go ahead and pray. So, Father, we just lift up this situation as far as with this house, and time is running out. There's a week left, and Lord, they need a place, and so Lord, we ask that you just have favor in this situation, as far as between the owner and the realtor and the finances, Lord, that you're going to work this out, that, that you're going to put favor into whoever needs to make the decision, the owner, and put compassion in them, and work out a deal that, that will bless them and bless Nina here. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you for working in this trial, that you're going to take care of it, that it is done. That you're going to open up that door for them. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Listen, I'd like to pray too. Father, I know after studying these last few weeks that you like to force us into these situations to where we can't help ourselves, that you're the only one that can do this, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that for these situations, because you always come through for us when we believe and we rest in the knowledge that it's in your hands. We can't do anything about it, Father. And I just praise you that in this situation here with Anna and Mia, that you're going to work this out, and it's going to be a mighty miracle, Father, and we praise you for that in Jesus' name. We're just believing, Lord, for a mighty miracle here. In Jesus' name. Is that right, Mia?
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else want to pray before we close out?
Is Joe here?
Go ahead, Joe.
Some prayer, please. We found out a couple of weeks ago, one of my sons, Ruan, started experimenting with drugs.
Okay. Well, let's pray.
Thank you.
So, Father, right now we just lift up Joe and Nora's son, and he's experimenting with drugs, and so, Father, right now, Lord, we just lift him up, and we just come against these spirits that are trying to draw him into this addiction. They're trying to draw him into these drugs. We just come against any peer pressure. We come against any trying to fit in, acceptance, anything there that he's doing, that he's justifying as far as this, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for putting a conviction in his heart, just a conviction in his conscience, Lord. Father, to walk in obedience to his parents, to walk in obedience to you. And we just ask, Lord, that you just deliver him from this desire to do these drugs. And you just take that out of his heart, Lord. Mm-hmm. We just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your protection over him, to keep him safe. And we thank you for just the miracle you're going to do in his life, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you just draw him onto you. We pray for his salvation, Lord, that he will just sell out to you and not be led of his flesh and not be led of man. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Good night, everybody. God bless.
Amen. Well, let's just pray for everybody. Father, we just thank you for just putting your love in us, Lord. Father God, we just ask you just put your compassion for others in us, Lord. We just thank you that you just anything that's in there that has got, you know, criticalness or judgment or anything towards others, Lord, allow us to see them as just, you know, just vessels, Lord, just lost vessels, and just put in us your love and your compassion for them, Lord, and allow us to bless them and not curse them, and we just thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you for blessing everybody this week, Lord, and just continue to work in their hearts, Lord, to bring them into your fullness, Lord, and bring them into your truth, Lord, and just allow everybody just to check their heart and to get serious about running after Christ and running in his love and honoring him and we just thank you for that, Lord. We just praise you for just all you're doing in all our lives, and bless everybody this week, and continue to give them just hunger for your truth, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.